Tango Tango Papa 1734, May 20th, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from, I guess it's probably Seville, Ohio. I think it's not very far from Lodi, Ohio. There's a lot of Lodis across the country. Seville, so it's not too far from kind of the greater Cleveland area. Anyway, the load I have goes to Lordstown, Ohio. It delivers there tomorrow being Monday, the 20th at noon Eastern Time. And so there's no parking allowed at the place where the load delivers to. And there's really no truck stop in the immediate area. The closest truck stop I would have had to kind of gone past the point where I would turn off several miles to get to another truck stop, so I'd have had to go a little bit out of my way. So I decided I'd just go ahead and stop here, which I did earlier this afternoon. I think I got here about 1 o'clock this afternoon Eastern time, and so I've just kind of hung out here and leave here in the morning and time it so that I get to the destination about an hour before the appointment time. So I'll try to get there by about 11 a.m. Eastern time. I think I'm roughly about 70 miles away. So another beautiful day today. Temperature was probably, I'm guessing, in the low 80s. I didn't really pay that much attention. It was somewhat cloudy. The sun kind of came and went. Especially as the day kind of wore on, it became a little bit more cloudier, but pretty nice day. Now, I guess they're having some really severe weather in some parts of the country, and from what I'm seeing on Facebook being posted, some really severe weather in Oklahoma. There's this one incredible photo that I quote-unquote liked on Facebook. Someone took it. The traffic was on a freeway somewhere, and I'm assuming it could have been Tulsa, or it could have been Oklahoma City, kind of a city multi-lane freeway, and they're the traffic's all backed up, they all have their brakes on, and there's an overpass, and there's a Swift truck that whoever's took the photo is behind, kind of behind the Swift truck. But in any case, if you look at that photo, it's not really dark. It was probably daytime when this was taken, but it was kind of dark because of the storm. But if you look, there's this tornado just right very close to all this traffic. Part of the tornado obviously is beyond the overpass, but really that's about as close as you'd ever want to be to an actual tornado that's on the ground. That's a pretty incredible photo. I was born and raised in Kansas, and I have seen tornadoes not on the ground, but I've seen them kind of from a few miles away, kind of up in the sky. Because sometimes tornadoes will form and they never do make it to the ground. You'll just see the funnel, but they're pretty distinctive. If you see one, they're not like a normal cloud. So pretty amazing photo. And in any case, and then I've got a niece that actually she and her husband live in Oklahoma City, and I favorited their pictures. They had some hail I guess it was after the fact, the hail had come down, and they had pictures of the hail in their yards and so on and so forth, and then in the palm of their hand, and some of that hail is huge. So that would do some serious damage. Just amazing. So, but the weather can be pretty severe. It really can, and again, we have to be prepared for it. We have to, as best we can. And if you, one of the downsides of living in a place like Kansas or Oklahoma or even Texas, or tornadoes can really happen anywhere, but there are places where they're much more likely to happen. And probably Kansas and Oklahoma are probably right up there with Kansas. Kansas actually statistically has the most tornadoes. But Oklahoma is right up there as well. You just have to be prepared for it. Now, my niece and her husband, when they moved to Oklahoma City, they lived in an apartment first, and then more recently they purchased a house, and the house that they purchased already, whoever built it, built in a storm shelter. And they've actually had to use, I'm sure they use the storm shelter today. So they've got that storm shelter just in case. It's kind of like backup. You want to back your computer up just in case, you know. But that's just one of the, it doesn't matter really where you live in the country, or in the world as far as that goes. Each area has some sort of, it seems like there's some sort of weather or some sort of natural kind of weather or earth phenomena, like earthquakes that you have to put up with. You know, you live in California, you just assume, you're going to have to put up with earthquakes and, you know, sort of make an allowance for it. And if you live in a lot of other places, you just have to assume that this can happen, and especially if you're in Kansas or Oklahoma, you just have to assume that that can happen, and you plan accordingly for it. And you know, sometimes you get hit. You know, I've been through storms. You know, and one time, you know, back in 1973, my family's house was destroyed, and you know, I've got pictures. If you go to truckerphoto.com, now I know I haven't updated that in forever. I've kind of let that languish, but if you dig around on there, you'll see some snapshots from 1973. That you know, looking back on that you know, it's pretty amazing. But so weather can happen, and it's just one of those things. You just have to use your common sense and be prepared for it, and you know, and just be, you know, and whatever you do, don't make the mistake of resenting it. Because, you know, you resent the weather. Well, what, you know, that's silly. How ridiculous is that, to resent the weather, as if you were God and you could sort of strike the weather dead? The weather will strike you dead. You know, resent natural phenomena. That's ridiculous. So, but, so anyway, that there are some storms that are going on, or that went on today, and, you just have to, as I say, you just have to kind of be prepared and expect it. You know, they can happen. And if they do, they do. And you simply, the best way to deal with it is to, again, not resent it and not get too excited about it. It's just, you know, kind of take it matter-of-factly and, you know, and then you kind of go through the experience, and maybe the experience, if you're fortunate, the experience might teach you a lesson or two. But, you know, maybe it doesn't. It doesn't have to. But, you know, experiences like that certainly can. But if you resent the experience, then that can have ramifications afterwards, because then you could begin to fear weather, you could begin to fear storms, and so on and so forth. And I've talked about that a long time ago. Anything you resent can end up, and it, if you resent it enough, it will end up causing you, you know, kind of to be terrorized by it. You know, you should, no matter what happens, like with a tornado or whatever, you know, sure, it can injure you, it can destroy your property and so on and so forth, but it can't terrorize your soul. It can't disrupt your identity unless you resent it. Now, of course, if you resent it, then your identity becomes corrupted, whether you like it or not. So, anyway, I, you know, Roy Masters has a, you know, he has a church, and so for a long time now, they've been putting these videos. Every Sunday, they give a talk at their church, and it's roughly 2 hours long. And so they have these, they put the videos up on Ustream. And so it's live, and it's in high definition, and so on and so forth. And so I ended up watching the one that they put up earlier today. And so I've taken a couple of audio clips from it, and I'm going to play them. The first one, Roy gives the really the best explanation of being born in sin that I've ever heard. Or, you know, because there's this, the Bible says we're born in sin. Well, it's really more accurate to say we are born into sin. With sin being temptation, sin really is the same thing, as synonymous with temptation. And so we're already born into, it's kind of almost, he talks about Stockholm Syndrome. It's sort of being born, we're sort of born into a world that is already in a Stockholm Syndrome, sort of a terrorist situation, in a sense. And so we're not born in sin, but we're born into it. And so we're here to sort of learn how to deal properly with that. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. This is, I think it's going to end up being roughly about 8.5, 9 minutes. And so here we go.
Stress is a necessary evil. And depending on how you deal with it, you reveal who you are. Stress as a necessary evil can make you a better person or a bitter person. Stress is absolutely necessary, and stress is evil. We're all subject to stress, but we're also stressors. We're stressors and stressees. We cannot help ourselves. And when we come into the world, we inherit. Let me just rephrase that. Two forces wait upon us. Good, that doesn't stress. And evil, that does stress. Good you bring with you, but the moment you enter into this world, you experience, you come into a world that is broken. You come into cultures, each one of which is the extension of Paradise Lost. You cannot find a society anywhere in the world, in the best of places, where there is no stressors and stressees, bullies and cowards. And as far as bullies are concerned, we don't know we're bullies, because every coward is a bully to someone weaker than themselves. And they cannot see it, or they may not see it, but the chance is that they don't. And when they do see it, if they do see that they are a bully, they cannot stop. There are a few people who are happy to see their faults. The whole idea the whole concept of stress and evil from the very beginning. Stress, temptation is another word for stress, or stress is another word for temptation. Temptation is evil. Evil stresses you to cause you to conform to a system which I call Paradise Lost. We inherit the stress of our forebears. The Bible says you're born in sin. Now that doesn't make sense. You can't be born in sin. You can be born into sin, or born into the stresses that preceded us because Adam fails. Eve eats the fruit too. He is seduced. Seduction is stress. Fake love, that's seduction. Well, I didn't die when I ate the fruit, so God lies. Seduction, a twist of words. God loves you? No, he doesn't. You got to finish the sentence. God loves you from what you are. God loves you for what you are. Which one is it? But if you don't put the word in the place, if you miss out the word. So those who go to church, when say God loves you, he does not love you in that sense, as you are. He loves you from what you are. And so the evidence that you have found him or not found him is either you respond to the stress and go on responding until you find it intolerable. And when you find it intolerable, you might search, but again, there's another turning in the road. You find it intolerable, therefore you smoke dope. You look for pleasure, you look for release, or you seek salvation from your pain, from the devil, from the very source that has seduced you and corrupted you. It's the Stockholm syndrome. You know, they call what happened to those people who, I think it was a bank, and terrorists raided the bank, herded everybody into the vault, and terrorized the hell out of them, or the hell into them. And it lasted several weeks, I believe. Please look it up and verify the things I'm saying and correct it. But the point is, after it was all over, many of the people who were victims married the terrorists or yielded to them. They call it the Stockholm syndrome. And it looks like they've given themselves in free will. They have a love-hate relationship with the terrorists. So what I'd like to talk about later on, and maybe I've said it before, but you need to understand that when you are seduced, when you come into the world, you cannot help but be infected. I should say reinfected, because you bring the spore, your father is not perfect. How many parents have good husbands? How many wives have good husbands? How many parents have good fathers? I mean, how many children, I should say, have good fathers? They're either weak or they're mean. They are either passive and have the Stockholm syndrome because they're married to a bitch. But he's son of one. See? So shall it be that man shall leave his mother and father, after all that thing, Paradise Lost, and be joined to the woman, and there should be one of one flesh. That is ass backwards. Pardon the expression. It's bass backwards. That's not the way it should be. That's the extension of Paradise Lost. So, man born of woman, well, how is a man born? Born of a woman. The body comes from a woman, but so does the mischief. So does the subjectivity. In other words, you're born in a Stockholm syndrome scenario. You're subject to the female from the very beginning because of Adam didn't put his foot down and said, don't do that, Eve. He doubted himself.
Okay, so that was the clip, and then I've got another clip I'm going to play here in a minute. But that, he really does, you know, that's the best explanation that I've ever heard him give of the concept of being born in sin, born into sin. We are really born into a situation, you know, it's really like a Stockholm syndrome type of situation where the event, the Stockholm event, is already underway. If you're not familiar, the Stockholm syndrome, they came up with that name way back, I don't know, in the 60s or the 70s. They had an Olympics in Stockholm, Sweden, and there were terrorists. There have always been terrorists. Terrorist is not a, you know, that's not a modern phenomenon. That's just a bully, basically, is a terrorist. It's just an extreme form of a bully. But so these terrorists captured these Olympic, you know, the people that were there for the Olympics. You know, they were in they had a dormitory set up for them or whatever. And so they captured these people and held them and and kind of terrorized them and held them for a period of days or whatever. And then there was, they noticed that after the thing was over with, and you know, the event was over with, and the terrorists released the hostages. The hostages had this strange affinity for the terrorists. And so what he was talking about there in this clip, you know, this has happened many, many times, and it happened well before it happened, you know, in modern times, you know, the Stockholm thing, and then they gave they called it the Stockholm syndrome, where you have this strange love or this strange affinity for the person that bullies you. He's talking about, you know, where they were, these people were trapped in a bank vault, and so this type of thing happens all the time. Where, especially if terrorists, if somebody comes in and puts you under a lot of stress and holds you at gunpoint and so on and so forth, and of course, in order for you to be affected by that, you have to react to it. How do you react to it? You resent it. You resent the person that is holding the gun at, or you know, aiming the gun at you, or whatever it is. And I can just hear the objections. Well, that's just natural. It's natural to resent. Well, you know, you do that at your own peril. Uh-oh, phone's ringing. Be right back. Okay, I'm back. That was my parents calling. I guess they tried to call a while ago. I've been sitting here all day. They tried calling a while ago, and somehow, I don't know what happened, but the phone didn't ring. I didn't hear it ring. So, but anyway, they called and then they left a voicemail. So anyway, I talked to them. They were, you know, lately I've been sending them pictures from those IP cameras that I have at home. And so, I don't know what happened, but Friday about 12:37 PM. So it was like noon, 12:37 noon, something happened to my DSL at home, and I don't know what. Can't get back into it. That happened one other time. Something went haywire with the modem, and I couldn't quite get lost its identity. And then I put it on a battery backup, and it's been doing pretty good since it's on the battery backup. But something still went wrong, I think. I don't know. It's hard to say. But so there's just lost, you know, I can't get into it from the outside. I've got, you know, not only the IP cameras, but I have that Nest thermostat. And then I also have a computer that I can log into remotely. And all of those things are offline. And, they, you know, 12:37 Friday was the last contact that any of those things had. So anyway, in the meantime, see, I'd been sending pictures to my parents every day, and she was wondering, well, what happened to the pictures? How come you're not sending us any pictures from home? Well, the thing quit. So, you know, but I don't know what happened. The router itself may need to be rebooted, since I, you know, that's another possibility. You know, it could have crapped out completely, or it could have simply locked up because it hasn't been rebooted now for a while, because I've had it on a battery backup. And of course, I'm kind of using it pretty much on a continual basis. So it could have just simply completely locked up and, just ceased to function. That's also possible, too. So I won't really be able to fix that until make it home again. So, but anyway, kind of getting back to what I was talking about, kind of responding to the Roy Masters clip, that's the most clear that he's ever, you know, the concept of being born into sin. That's the most clear explanation that I've ever heard him give, and it makes perfect sense. Because if you think about it, we're born into a situation, so it'd be kind of, you know, it'd be sort of like being born into a hostage situation. You know, although it gives the, you know, it's sort of more subtle because it gives the appearance it's just normal, and you know, and maybe you've got your mom and you've got your dad, and if you're lucky, you have a mom and dad. But even at that, they've got their problems because their parents had their problems, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the way back. And so you're born into that situation, and you go through a season where you kind of become worse, and, you know, but as he was saying in that clip, evil is necessary because it puts us as human beings, it puts us to the test, it puts our soul to the test. You know, and I know there are people who say, well, God doesn't make any junk, and so on and so forth, and, you know, we got to be nice to each other, and so on and so forth, and that's sort of twisting things, because you can be weak and apparently nice. You can be a wimp. And apparently be nice. You can even be a bully and apparently be nice. So we're born into a dysfunctional situation, sort of like a hostage situation, into a bully, coward situation, into a terrorist situation. It takes on different forms. It maybe it's not so overt. Sometimes it is. There's some families where it really is overt, where you have a genuine terrorist in the house, one or more, probably more. And then you have other situations where the people are apparently nice, and yet they still screw with you. They still screw with your mind. You know, sort of like, you know, and I was talking in the podcast last night, you know, the parents park their kids in front of the Xbox and they give them all, shower them with all kinds of iPhones and iPods and, you know, all kinds of toys and, you know, they give them this and they give them that. Because they, when it comes right down to it, they can't give them what they really need. What children really want, or what they really need, to be more accurate, what children really need from their parents is for those parents to provide an environment to begin with, sort of where the parents sort of function as an externalized conscience, a good conscience, that stops them from hurting, not only hurting themselves, you know, stop them from running out in the street because they don't know any better, stop them from doing something that they could kill them, that could end up injuring or killing them, killing themselves because they don't know any better. But beyond that, stop them from sort of being naughty, or stop them from sort of being little terrorists, because they have that nature too. We're born with the spore of it already. We're born with the proclivity to be bullies, is another way of putting it. To be bullies, and every coward is a bully, and every coward is a bully, every bully is a coward. Strong before the weak, weak before the strong. No exceptions. The only exception, the only cure really, is awareness. Now, a couple of podcasts ago, I was talking about the situation with that woman behind the window at that place I was unloading at up in Massachusetts, and she was just kind of yelling at people and yelling at drivers and just kind of being a terrorist, in a sense, sort of a bully. And, you know, she has the power over people, and she's kind of lording it over them, a dog-eat-dog situation. Because she's in a horrible job where she has to do the work of three people in the middle of the night. She has to work all night, and boy, she's just taking it out on anybody she can take it out on. And so what I did when I went back in there, what did I do? I just stood there, very patiently, calmly stood there, and spend a great deal of time just looking at her. Not saying anything, not scowling, just standing there patiently. And I wasn't just staring at her, I was looking around, but I was also looking at her. Because, I mean, she's at the head of the class. Here she is behind the window. And all these drivers are standing around, you know, kind of in front and then down the halls. There's a little short hall and then a longer hall. So I just stood there and looked at her. You know, and here a few minutes later, she started apologizing. Oh, I need to get to you. This is ridiculous. You've been standing there for so many minutes, so long, and blah, blah, blah. And she had a completely different personality. And so that ties right in with this second clip from Roy Masters that I'm going to play from his talk that they broadcast earlier today on Ustream. By the way, that's on Ustream every Sunday. It's called Sunday Conversations with Roy Masters. And if you get a chance, what they do, they start playing. They'll play last week's, starting sometime on Saturday, they start it playing, and then it just plays over, you know, and then you can play it. And then they do a live thing, I think 10 o'clock Pacific time. They do a live broadcast on Ustream in high definition. And then after that, you can watch that for free up to 24 hours after they broadcast it. And then they've also got pay-per-view set up where they'll charge you $5 if you want to watch a previous episode. And they've got a whole catalog of previous episodes to watch. But they're really excellent. Really good stuff. And so towards the end of the talk that they broadcast today, he talks a little bit about what he would do if he had Glenn Beck's organization. And it would work. I know it would work. So let me go ahead and play that. So here once again, here's Roy Masters.
To see that, you can see it in this light. Forgive them, Father, for he knows not what they do, he or she. Forgive them. You've been forgiven. Therefore, in your forgiveness, you're enlightened. The other people haven't found it. And they are at odds with your new innocence. It's uncomfortable. They attack you. They attack what's innocent. That's what they did when you were a child. They attack. That's why children are... In America, is it one place in the world where you would not expect children to be violated and degraded? Yeah, one in four children are molested and violated by their parents, molested sexually. Molested or allowed, you know, look the other way. No, America is in very dangerous shape. We are immoral. Slothful, cowardly, overpowering. There's nothing normal about America anymore. There's just a few, and most are broken. Even on the conservative side, they're just as broken as those the others, except they're broken towards the broken in the sense that they're not strong enough to wave the flag with guts. They just wave flags, be nice, sweet, don't leave any garbage behind you. We're nicer than you are. See? If I had control of that Glenn Beck thing, I would get them 150,000 people to stand around the White House and not move for weeks and weeks and just keep changing guard and just not saying a word, not waving a flag, just looking, not saying a word. And never going away at all. Just keep on having reinforcements. Because you need lots of toilets. Because silence will do it. Just watch. They can't stand watching. They can't stand being watched. They think what they're up to. What they're up to. See? That's what happens. Yeah, if I got an organization, I could do it.
Okay, so there you go. That's he. You know, he's talking about. You know, how do you break the cycle? And you don't even really have to say anything. All you have to do is have awareness. You know, and you may think, well, that's just, you know, hocus pocus. That doesn't work. It's way more powerful than you realize. Because just imagine that you're on the receiving end of that. Just imagine that you're all harried at work and you're under all kinds of unreasonable pressure, stress, temptation. You're under all kinds of unreasonable pressure. You got all these... drivers standing out there just waiting, and you got all this pressure coming from your boss and the organization, the other people you work with, and these drivers don't know your procedures, and even though your procedures are pretty unreasonable to start with, they're sort of unreasonable to start with, and then then they're behind, you're behind this glass and they can't hear you all that well, and it's noisy and concrete walls and what have you, and you got all these 20 people waiting in line or more, and you're just stressed out. And so what do? If you react the wrong way, what do? You dog eat dog. Take it out on them. Threaten them. Without really threatening them. Without. You've got the power to not unload their load. And they can't talk back to you. You can yell and do whatever, and they can't say a word. They have no power. You have these people that are in a position of no power. So the only power you have, just imagine, imagine you're this woman. And so some guy comes out and he just stands there and he doesn't say a word. And he doesn't scowl at you or anything. He just looks at you. And he looks away periodically, but he makes a point of looking at you. You know that he knows that you know that he knows that he's looking at you. I don't know if I got those in the right order or not, but you get the picture. All those knowings. And that's very unnerving. It just took a few minutes with this gal, and boy, she got me out of there quick. And her entire demeanor changed. So that's very powerful. So you don't even really have to say anything. If you've got someone that's being unreasonable, you don't even really need to say anything. All you have to do is just not move, not respond to the pressure. Because, in another part of this talk that he gave today that I played the audio from, and I would suggest that... I don't know how long that's going to be available to watch, but I'd suggest you watch the whole thing. Just search for Ustream for Sunday Conversations, Roy Masters. He was kind of talking about that, not responding. Don't respond. People will pressure you. Hurry, you have to answer me. Answer me. Tell me what you think. Do it right now. Whoops. Hang on a minute. I'm going to have to pause this so I can turn the switch off. This air conditioner's been running all day, this battery-operated air conditioner, so I went ahead and started the truck so that the battery would recharge so I would be able to spend the night without waking up in the middle of the night with that alarm going off. So I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. So that's a very powerful thing. You don't have to say anything. The real cure is not words, but calm, patient, in the moment awareness. And what that does, that forces the person that is being unreasonable, and chances are this gal didn't realize she was being unreasonable. People don't, for the most part, they don't know that they're being unreasonable. They're just doing what they think they have to survive. Blow off a little steam. Who cares? Is the attitude. And so what, you know, by me just standing there, looking at her, being very patient, making sure that I'm in the moment, not feeling anything, no resentment, you know, no, really no emotion whatsoever, but just standing there looking at her, that was enough to cause her to completely change her demeanor. And there were, and if you think about it, there were no words I could have said. Had I returned her animosity towards her, she would have probably kicked me out, or at least would have threatened to call my company, or you know, because then it would look like I was the one that was being unreasonable. That's called projection. You project it into somebody else, but in order for projection to work, it really takes, you have to have a willing participant, and the willing participant is in the form of resenting the person that's being unreasonable, and then you look like you're the problem. So awareness, without even saying a word, awareness, being in the moment, being aware, being in the moment is all it really takes. And the more someone tries to get you to respond and to you know, to pressure you, you see kids do that with their parents, parents do that with their kids, people do it with each other all the time. Hurry, you have to make a decision, you have to do this, hurry, hurry, do it now, salesmen do it. It's a well-known sales technique, pressure people. If you're feeling pressure, don't do anything. Wait till the pressure goes. Wait till it subsides. Because if there's about a 99% chance that if you make a decision while you're under pressure, it's going to be the wrong decision. Never act under pressure. Wait until the pressure goes away, and then you'll know what to do. And you don't even have to decide at that point. You don't even have to know the difference between right and wrong. All you have to do is not respond to the pressure. But being in the moment and being conscious, consciously, patiently in the moment, is a severe pressure to someone that's caught up in a kind of a dog, the typical dog eat dog, pass stress along from one person to the next hell that goes on in everyday life constantly. So there were no words that I could have said to that woman that could have, you know, what could I do? Say words and make faces and change my tone of voice? And none of it would have been, it would have been of either no effect or bad effect to me. And so the answer was to simply stand there, be calm and patient, and aware and in the moment, and just look at her. And that's a pressure that she likely has never encountered before. And so that will work in any situation where you're being pressured, or where someone's trying to pressure you, or they're being unreasonable, which is also pressure. Because they're stressing you, they're trying to tempt you to take on their identity, tempt you to become externalized, tempt you to partake of their hell. And you've got to remember, they're sort of mindlessly doing it, robotically doing it, slavishly doing it. Maybe they're aware of it, maybe they're not. Chances are they're not, or they think, oh, that's just my job, I have to do that, or I can't survive. Have to pass it along or I won't survive. The cure is awareness. And that awareness, they end up taking on something that they, you know, maybe they want it, maybe they don't. But she ended up kind of becoming conscious of her own unreasonableness. And the beauty of it is I didn't have to say a word. I didn't have to do anything. All I had to do was be calm and patient and in the moment and look at her. And so he's right. That would work. I guarantee you that would work. That's what we need to do is get about 50,000 people, go surround the White House and maybe the Capitol, not even say a word, have lots of toilets, but not say a word, and just stand there and just have people, reinforcements keep coming. Just make that our mission, to just go stand there and watch. That would work. It really would. You may think that's crazy, but I guarantee you it would work. It would drive them up the wall. So, anyhow, probably better be cutting this off. Get headed to bed. Hope everyone has had a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.